My goodness, I sure enjoyed the singing tonight, all of it. God bless you. I saw that young lady in concert with Zach Williams, and my goodness, she was full of Jesus. Appreciate that good song. Enjoyed the choir songs very much, too. Well, you did a wonderful job. Matter of fact, you sang one of my grandmother's favorite songs, I'll Meet You in the Morning. Now, my grandmother, I remember my grandmother when I was old enough to remember anything. She used to attend church, or I should say this, I attended church with her at Faith Church in Detroit where Brother Randy came from. My grandmother had that tall hair, and she was a redhead, that tall hair. She sat about where Brother Douglas sat in the church house. And when they would start that song, I'll Meet You in the Morning, they'd make it through about one verse. And she'd ease out of that seat and she'd start going, "Woo!" I can still hear it. Better yet, I can still feel it. Yeah. Oh my goodness. You don't forget memories like that, do you? Oh my goodness. It's been good to be here, and God bless you. And I sure am enjoying getting to know y'all. Y'all may not me, but I'm getting enjoyed to know y'all. And y'all kind of know I'm kind of, I can be kind of a bit of a jokester sometimes. But I don't like you to play tricks on me, though, okay? So it's just a one-way street, okay? I'm gonna make sure you understand that. And I said, I'm really getting to enjoy y'all very much. And I need y'all to pray for me. I usually don't have a bit of trouble deciding what I need to preach or which way I need to go. And for some reason, since I'm not pastoring on a regular basis now, I'm a little bit rusty. And so I'm having a little harder time than I normally do. But, well, that's all right. That just makes me depend on the Lord just a little bit more. I want to start with talking to y'all about some places in the world that I want to go to. Somebody asked me tonight if I was retiring, does that mean I quit preaching? Well, absolutely not. I don't know what the Lord has in store for me, but I want to preach every time I get the opportunity. But I tell you, one thing I want to do since I don't have a church is I kind of want to see the world. Well, let me back up. I want to see the United States. I want to go to Mount Rushmore, and I want to go to Yosemite Park, and I want to see all I can of the United States. Then when I get tired of that, I may go to some other country. But I want to go to a lot of different places if I can. I'm going to tell you one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. When I was a little boy, my grandmother, the one I was talking about that was a shouter, she went to Hawaii. And, of course, she loved flowers. So that's the place to go, they tell me. Well, I found out later myself it was. But that's the place to go if you like beauty. And she came back and she said, "I believe that's the most beautiful place I've ever been." And I told my wife then, I said, "We're going some of these days." And we did. And she was right. It was a beautiful, beautiful place. As a matter of fact, we've been a couple of times and we want to go back. There's a lot of places in this world I want to go. But there's one place that I'm never going to have to worry about going. And that's what I'm going to try to talk to you about here tonight. I don't want to go to hell. In no way, in no form, in no fashion, do I believe hell is a place that anybody would want to go. And you know, someone might say, "Well, you believe people are going to go to hell?" I absolutely do. Do you believe that God wants anybody to go to hell? I absolutely do not. As a matter of fact, I'm so convinced that God doesn't want you to go to hell tonight. And of course, if you've been saved, you don't have to worry about that. But I want these saved people to understand this tonight, that you know people that are probably going to go to hell. Well, we all know if we believe what the Word of God says, and if you believed it enough to trust the Lord to save your soul, you believe it. The Bible teaches us that some people are going to go to hell. But you know what? You and I don't like to think about that. No, we go on with our lives, we do our thing, and we wonder. And you know, I don't mind telling you, when I was growing up, my grandmother used to get the Tennessean or the Banner. And you know the very first place she would go when she got that newspaper? I bet some of y'all do the same. You know where she'd go? the obituaries. Yeah. And I used to say, Granny, I'd say, reckon how many of those people are in heaven and how many of those people are in hell. Wow. It's awful sober, isn't it? And I like to have fun, but it's hard to be having much fun when you talk about hell. So I want you to travel with me for just a little while. Let's talk about that awful place. And if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, I want you to know something. That's where you're going to go if you don't do something about it. Did you know that? If you're not saved, and you know what, it saddens me. I'd rather cut up with you and have fun with you, and oh my goodness, I'll match you joke for joke if I can. Because I just like to have fun. I just do. I love worship. I love church. There's nothing in the world any more fun to me than going to church. When people get full of the Spirit of God and they light up, and when y'all smile at me and enjoying the songs, or if I say a little something about Jesus and I get a grin, oh my goodness, that makes me feel those glory bumps up and down my spine. See, because I like people to talk about Jesus, and I like to talk about Jesus. See, I never considered myself much of a preacher, but you know what? I love to brag on my Lord. I just do. And y'all know something? Do you know what he talked about? Did you know that Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven? I believe there was a reason for that. I believe he did that because he wanted to make sure that you didn't go. So if you've never been saved tonight, I want you to pay a close, special attention to what we're going to talk about, okay? And I'll hurry. I don't want to spend a lot of time on hell, but I need to spend a little time. Let's begin reading what Jesus said about hell, okay? We're going to be in the 16th chapter of the book of Luke. We're going to read starting with the 19th verse. And I'm going to do this a little bit different tonight. I'm going to go ahead and read my lesson, and then we'll make the comments. And I may give you a topic tonight, or I may let you just figure it out, okay? So let's begin reading. And this is Jesus doing the talking. I see. If you got your Bible, I want you to notice what color the letters are in. What color are they? They're red, and that just tells us who's doing the talking then, doesn't it? Yeah. So let's begin in the 19th verse. And Jesus said, there was a certain rich man. Now, Jesus spoke a lot in parables. Jesus would tell stories to make a point, okay? This is not a parable, right? This is a story. You'll find nowhere in this where Jesus is saying this is like something. Okay? A parable is telling a story to make a point. This is a real story. These are real people. So make sure you understand that, okay? And let's go on. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now, I don't ever want you to get your idea that the problem was the rich man, the fact that the man was rich where he winds up. That didn't have anything to do with it, other than it probably distracted him from taking care of what he needed to take care of. All right? That's the only reason. So sometimes people, well, yeah, that's what's going to happen, all those rich people. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no. Abraham was rich, and I don't believe he went to hell. You know, I can just go on and on. Okay? David and Solomon. Okay? So I don't have anything to do with it. All right, let's go on. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at his gate full of sores. And he desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores in a sad shape, you know. Do you see anybody this day and age that's in that bad of shape? Well, I tell you what, when I see it on TV sometimes, those people living in the streets in California and some of these cities, they're in pretty bad shape, aren't they? Yeah. You know what they need more than anything? I think the government to put a whole lot of money in there and take care of them. They need that more than anything, don't they? Well, they may need a little of that help. I tell you what I think they need. I think they need Jesus. Yeah. That's what I do, but anyway, let's move on. That's just I'll just add that to that. And it says, and he said, and it came to pass as the beggar died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now, wherever Abraham is, that's where he was taken. And I'm going to tell you where I believe Abraham's bosom. Wherever God is, that's where Abraham was, all right? And he was carried there. But again, now that had nothing to do. I don't want you to get in your mind because one's rich, one's poor. It had nothing to do with it. It just tells that Jesus said that's where he went. If he went there, I can guarantee you this, he had a salvation experience. He knew the Lord. Everybody that's had a salvation experience, everybody that's known the Lord, everyone that's ever been saved, very moment they leave this world, they go to be with the Lord. You know what the Apostle Paul said? Yeah, y'all ought amen after that one. Thank you, Brother Andy. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He said to be absent from this body is what? To be present with the Lord. So wherever Jesus is, that's where Lazarus went. Hallelujah. Now, don't get me wrong. Y'all, when I get talking about heaven or going to be with the Lord, y'all think I get really excited and I'm just ready to just take one more step and just be there. Well, I hope it's that easy. I'm not in any hurry, but I kind of am looking forward to it. And sometimes I'm really looking forward to it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But in the meantime, you know what I want to do? I want to make sure every single one of you get to go with me. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't have any known enemies. I'm sure I got some people who don't like me. But even them, I want to be in heaven. I don't want my worst enemy to go to hell. And even more so, the Lord doesn't either. Oh, God, it's not God's will that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why God doesn't want anybody to go to hell tonight. No. And I'm going to tell you what I believe with all my heart. I believe it's harder to get into hell than it is to get into heaven. With all the prayers of the saints and living in a nation, my friends, that still there's some places you can go like here tonight and with Brother Randy and other, there's churches all over the countryside where if you want to know the truth, you want to know my God, you can. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. They've taken a lot of, seemed like our rights and privileges away from us in this country, but I can still go to church. And I tell you what, I'll be okay as long as they'll still let me go to church. But when they try to stop that, now then there'll be war, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, I'll leave that alone too. And the Bible says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And then listen. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in the bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Doesn't sound like a very good place, does it? Yeah. You know, in my ministry and in my life, I've seen some people in some awful, awful pain. My mama was in a long-term care facility. I like that name a whole lot better than a nursing home for a while. And once in a while, I'd go in there and you'd hear hollers. And I don't feel in any pain, but I don't mind telling you, every time I'd go in there and I'd hear somebody hollering or screaming, you know what would come to my mind? It's right here. Yeah. I believe it's that way in hell. I really do. I tell you what, and I'm going to try my best with God's help to paint as ugly a picture of it as I can, because I don't want you to go there. You know, usually when I preach about hell, I even see the saved people begin to squirm a little bit. You know, we don't like to talk about the pain, or we don't like to talk about the hurt, do we? But, you know, sometimes that's what causes us to want to pray and talk to that person, just go a little bit more out of the way to share with them, I love you and I want you to know about my Jesus, because I just don't want you to go to hell. And you know what a lot of the world will say today? Remember I told you the other day about that statistic? Up until about 3 or 4 years ago, 100% of the people in the United States believed there was a God. 100%. I it kind of blew me away. Now it's 81%. So there's 19% that don't even believe in a God. Now I want to ask you a question. When you die, do you think they believe in God? Ah, yeah. And I, you know what? Last I looked, one out of one die. Yeah. That means everybody. You know, it's appointed unto men to what? Die. How many of you know anybody that's 110? How many of you know anybody that's 100? I thought some of you might. How many of you know anybody that's 90? And we'll stop right there. We probably know a few that are 90, don't we? Yeah, I know you do, Brother Smith. I do too, two of them, yeah. But you know what? There aren't that many of them, are they? Yeah. So I didn't keep that in mind. Let's move on now. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, listen, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Now let me stop there and say this. You know, I've heard all my life these people that'll be out partying and having a good time. And you know, they'll make the statement and say, oh yeah, I'm going to have a good time. And they said, yeah, and I'll probably die and go to hell, and all my buddies will too. And we'll go down there and have a great party together. Well, I want you to know there's no party going on in hell. Sounds to me like his torment. As a matter of fact, this rich man, who I believe right now, tonight, is in hell as it is. Not his final hell, but hell enough. All right, and one of these days, maybe we can get into more of that. But you know what? He's there, and he don't even want his brothers to come down there, much less his buddies. All right? But he said, send somebody from the grave to my brother. Because I don't want him to come to this awful place. You know what he said? He said, though somebody, and listen to what Abraham said. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. You know what you have today? You don't have Moses and the prophets, but you've got born again believers that God called men, part of the Lord's church, and their responsibility is to make sure you understand that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Sure as I'm sitting here. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but send one unto them from the dead, and they will repent. Just send somebody back from the dead. Well, folks, Jesus came back from the dead. What more do you want? Yeah. Oh, somebody said, well, I didn't see him. Oh, you and I, for looking at you and me walking around talking about him and bragging about him and shouting about him and singing about him and testifying about him, they're seeing him. You know, you and I are supposed to be his hands and his feet and his mouth, and we ought to light up. God's people ought to be the happy. Now, don't get me wrong. Someone say, oh, but you just don't know. Listen, folks, my mama died January the 6th. My little boy was in a hospital, and I almost lost him in April. He had some stomach issues, and I can just go on. I mean, we all got stuff going on in our lives. But thank God he's got a salvation experience. He's better than doing good. And mama, I tell you what I believe my mama's doing tonight. I don't know if they're shouting around the throne, but if there's any shouting going on, I can guarantee you she's right in the middle of it. If she's not at the feet of Jesus, asking him 1,000 questions like you try to ask me sometimes. Yeah. Hallelujah. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. See, you and I have so much to offer. And I want to talk real quick if I can. I've got a few things. Is there really a hell tonight? Do you really believe? I don't usually do a lot of this, but I want y'all to pretend. If you believe there's a hell tonight, would you raise your hand? I want your unbelieving friends to see that you believe there's a hell. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I want you to know the Bible tells us that there is a hell. The Bible says in the 9th chapter of Psalms, the 17th verse, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. The Bible tells us that there's a hell. Jesus tells us, my friends, that there's a hell. You know what Jesus said on the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew? He said that hell was prepared for man. That's what he says. You know what he said hell? You know what he said hell was prepared for? The devil and his angels. But you know what the Bible says in Isaiah 5 and 14? The Bible says that hell hath enlarged itself. Well, so how big is hell going to be, Brother Johnny? Big enough. Big enough for who, Brother Johnny? Big enough for every unbeliever that never puts their faith and trust in Jesus. For all those that try to live a good life. For those that were baptized but never had salvation. I can go on and on. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. There's one way. There's one truth. There's only one way to get there. I praise his holy name. And it's Jesus is the one that's doing the teaching here. I tell you what I love. It says in Daniel, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awaken, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt. Folks, I tell you what, people are going to be in hell. Luke says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, saying, Abraham, from afar off, and Lazarus in the bosom. Let me tell you, the rich man tonight is in hell. And you say, well, Brother Johnny, how long has he been there? Well, let's count the years from when Moses was here on this earth. Been there a while. Well, how much longer is he going to be there? How much longer do you think he's going to be there? Any hope for him? And you know all he asked for? He didn't ask for a good meal. What did he ask for? One drop of water. Wow. Oh my goodness. How sad. You see, friends, basically, logic demands for us that there's a hell. I mean, where are the people going to go that reject the Lord? Where do the wicked people go? Are they going to be in heaven? You know what? A lot of people believe, and this is the saddest thing in the world. This is why many of them don't get saved. They think we're like dogs and cats and cows. How many of you have a pet dog? You love that dog better than anything. Yeah, okay. But now, does that dog have a soul? Where do you think that dog went? Where did that dog go? Where will that dog go once it dies? And of course, you don't like to think about that. Oh, yeah, but that dog loves me better than my kids do. I hear people say that all the time. That's wonderful. You need pets, but I want you to know something, folks. That dog doesn't have a soul. He's going to go back to the dust from which it came from. But God didn't create you and me like that. You know what God did when he made you? And I'm going to tell you what I believe, and the world don't agree with me. And I believe when that little egg hit that sperm, I tell you what there, God breathed into the nostrils a breath of life, and it became a living soul. Yeah, and it's counted in glory. And those 63 million that have been killed, my friends, since 1974, I'll guarantee you, my friends, they're in glory tonight. Yeah, they're under the grace of God. Now, I know the world don't believe that, and I know y'all won't run me out of here, but there's been a lot of places that have run me out of here. But I tell you what, that's what I believe. I believe that's the truth of God's word tonight. Yeah, logic demands it. It says, listen to this. Now, I want you to hear this. In Hebrews 10:29, of how much sore, and what I'm saying here tonight there, that hell is real. It says, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be he that shall he be thought worthy who has trodden under the foot the Son of Man and hath counted his blood of the covenant and hath counted the blood of his covenant wherewith he was sacrificed as an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You know what that's talking about? Anybody that's heard the gospel and been convicted of their sin and rejected the grace of God, what do they deserve tonight? What do you think they deserve? I tell you what they've got on. It's the judgment of God, and the wrath of God is already on them. The Bible says, he that believeth not condemned. We're saved. We're not condemned. We're going to glory. But he that believeth not is what? Condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is hard to preach. You know who I like to preach about? Heaven. I just do. But you know, like I said, there's more in the Bible about hell than there is about heaven. Let's go on, all right? What is hell like? I mean, I'm going to go through this. Let's just get a little idea what hell is like. First of all, it's a place of separation. Then shall they say unto them that are on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and the angel. Okay, what's the system? Christ comes back. The goats are on one side and the sheep are on the other. All right? And of course, I won't have time to go into a new glorified body and all that, but what I just want, let's look at the eternal destiny. The sheep, which are the followers of Christ, those who have been saved, have a new body and they go to be the glory. But the goats, he'll say this. Matter of fact, in Matthew, when he's teaching about it, he says, he'll say to them, depart ye workers of iniquity. I never what? Never knew ye. Yeah. Didn't have a no-soul salvation. Yeah. And there'll be a lot of them that have done all the good works and done all the ceremonies and all. It's amazing to me. You know what I love about the old time Baptists like you and me? We believe in a relationship with God. A convicting power that draws us to him, and we put our faith and trust in him. He puts his spirit within us and we know about it. The rest of the world's trying their best to earn their way to glory. All I can say to them is good luck. Because I can tell you right now what the outcome's going to be. It's going to be what the old time preachers used to always say, get to the right up in my face, said they're going to bust hell wide open. That's what's going to happen. Now, you don't want to hear that. Well, I tell you what, it's amazing. I can see y'all squirming a little. I'm squirming too, and I'm up here preaching it. I tell you what, I don't like to talk about hell. But I want you to know tonight she's real. She is. It's a place of separation. Hell is a place of suffering, my friends. Yeah, the rich man was tormented in those flames. There's pain. There's no celebration going on down there. There's a lot I can say about it, but I can tell you what. You think of the most awful pain you've ever had in this world, and you might be skinning the surface of what it's going to be like in hell. Okay? Ah, really, Brother Johnny? Oh, yeah. I believe it with all my being. Hell is a place of eternal suffering. It's not temporary, no, my friend. It's they're cast into an everlasting fire. And again, it was prepared for the devil and his angels. It's an everlasting punishment, my friend. Not just for a little while. Forever and forever and forever. Oh, my goodness. It's not a place where we want even our enemy to go to. Hell is a place of the lowest of associations. What in the world do you mean by that, Brother Johnny? Well, let me read this in the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter and 8th verse. Who's going to be there? The fearful, the unbelieving. Now, those two don't sound too terribly awful, do they? But look who else is going to be there. It says the abominable. Now, that's the lowest of the lowest. And the murderers. And the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the adulterers and all the liars shall have their part in the lake of fire that burneth with fire, the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The final, my friend, destination of all the unbelievers. So who's going to be in heaven? Not the good folks. Oh, no. No, it's a place for not the good folks. But you know the thing that jumps out at me in that verse more than anything? It's not the fact the murderers are going to be there, or the adulterers, or the ones that mistreat children. And y'all, all you have to do is watch the news. You see all the awful things. Did you notice that it was just those that are fearful? But even worse, it's the unbelieving. So you know what keeps you, what causes you to go to hell, what keeps you out of heaven? Is the fact you don't believe. Now, hang in. And hell is a place, hell is a place to reap the harvest of sinful influences. What do you mean, Brother Johnny? And it says, woe unto the scribes and the Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye compass the sea of land to make one proselyte when he is made, he make him a twofold more child of hell than yourselves. In other words, there'll be people there, my friends, that we've had association with that have nothing to do with God. Nothing to do with God. Nothing about God. And people there, my friends, that don't want to know or have anything to do with God. And here's something else now. And this probably is one of the toughest to me. Hell is going to be a place of memory. Yeah. The rich man remembered who? How many brothers did he have? How many? Five. He remembered that, didn't he? You know who else he remembered? Remember that beggar at the gate that was begging for some crumbs? He knew who he was too, didn't he? Yeah, don't you think that you're just going to go to hell and poof, I'm gone. No, no, no. That's not the way it is. Now, I'm about through hanging there with me. Now, who goes to hell? Well, I'll tell you, according to the Word of God, it's the lost sinner that goes to hell. Ezekiel 18 and 14, behold, all souls are mine. As the souls of the Father, so are the souls of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. A soul that sins, my friend, it'll die. And he's talking here about an eternal death. Okay? That's what he's talking about. Here's something else that I want you to see in this, my friends. It says that in Romans, it says the wages of sin is death. It's death. It's eternal death. It's separation from God. It is. You know, I've thought a lot about this. You know, I have family members, and so do you, that are unsaved. As a pastor of McFerrin Missionary Baptist Church for 26 years, I kept an ongoing list of unsaved people. It was usually right around 50, okay? And I tell you where I got joy, Brother Douglas, is every once in a while, one or two or three or four of them would get saved. And I'd get to get my list out. And I'd tell, and sometimes even when they get saved in the service, I said, I'm going to take you off my list. Yeah, I'm going to take you off my list. Oh, every time I Lord, someone said, well, Brother John, why'd you do that? Because it's so I could take them off my list. It just blessed my soul. It's good enough to see them saved. And I think, and then you know what? The church even get to the point, they'd come up to me and say, Brother Carver, you can take him off your list. I said, yeah, I already told him. Yeah, see, I just like that, folks. I don't mind telling you. It's you see, I'm convinced, my friends, that God doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. Unbelievers go to hell. I mentioned that. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not already condemned. You know what you have to do to go to hell tonight? And you're not saved? Just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't do anything. Don't you dare. If you want to go to hell, don't you dare come to this altar and pray and get saved. Oh, no. Don't you get out of your seat and come down here. Just keep doing what you're doing. And you'll just walk right off. One of these days you'll be breathing. You know what's sad about it, too? Is you don't have to wait till you're 85 to die to get there. How many of y'all have known a teenager in your lifetime that have died? Would you raise your hand? Yeah. Now, if they're saved, where did they go? Talk to me. Where'd they go if they're saved? Where did they go if they weren't saved? Yeah. Don't you just hate even saying that word? I do too. Oh, see, folks, what I want you to know tonight is unbelievers go to hell. And lastly, those who reject Christ go to hell. That's what you do. And see, and someone said, well, I just don't believe a merciful, loving God would send anybody to hell. I agree with that 100%. I don't believe a loving, merciful God sends anybody to hell. Let me tell you what you are. You're a person that has a choice. And I'm going to give you the first biblical example of that. You know what was in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve? The only thing in the Garden of Eden that they weren't supposed to touch or eat? What was that? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, why did the Lord put that in the garden? He didn't have to put that in the garden. But why did he put that in the garden? I'll tell you why, Brother Dwayne. He didn't want a bunch of robots walking around here and him make them do what he wants them to do. You know what he wants? He wants me and you to lovingly and wantingly serve him. Yeah. And ain't gonna be anybody in heaven don't want to be there. I mean, you and I prayed, we're blue in the face for another person that's unsaved. But until they make up their mind, that's what they want more than anything in this world, they're going to bust hell wide open. All we can do is pray, and I'll tell you what I'll do. They'll have to step across the prayers of the saints, the preaching of God's word. They'll have to step across my friends, the mercy of all the saints of God to get to hell. But if they do, that's where they'll wind up. And I know tonight you don't want your worst enemy, and certainly you don't want your grandbabies, and certainly you don't want your neighbor kids, and certainly you don't want the people that you work with. You know what I'm the most worried about on Judgment Day, Brother Douglas? Is that when I'm over there standing with the lambs, that there's going to be some goats over there that are going to be pointing at me and saying, how come you never told me about this Jesus that you're going to live with? You mean tell me you didn't care enough about me to talk to me before I would die and go to that awful place? I don't mind telling you, I wonder. You know, I try my best to talk to people about the Lord, but you know, I get busy. And then you know what I think like you? Well, they don't want to hear about that. And sure enough now, you know, we're intolerant. And, oh, y'all just want everybody to be a Christian. Y'all just all a bunch of hypocrites. Oh, yeah, I want everybody to be a Christian. But the part that I want to be a Christian about is have the love in their hearts and the power of God in their lives and have a home in glory. Not because I want everybody to be a Christian so I can brag about it. Are you kidding me? You know what I'm going to do when I get to heaven? I'm just going to count all the stars in my crown and I'm going to wear that hat all over glory. No, you think, I'm gonna look at you and say, look how many more stars I got than you got. That's what I'm going to do. You think? I don't think so. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk up to that throne. I'm going to take off my crown. And I'm going to lay it at the feet of Jesus. And I'm going to say, thank you, Lord, for letting me wear it for just a minute. But thank you for being there with me. Yeah. Because I don't want anybody to go to hell. Oh, do you? And certainly if you're here tonight, oh, my goodness, just don't let that happen. And I'm going to tell you what you need to do so you won't. Then I'm going to close, okay? What do you need to do? How do we get out of hell? Brother Johnny, if I'm on my way, I've got some other things I share, but I'm not going to. I want to talk to you about how do you escape hell. Well, the first thing is you got to hear about Jesus. I heard about him all my life. And I'm so fortunate, and you may not be that fortunate, but I'm going to tell y'all, we've grown up in the Bible Belt, okay? I don't never remember my lifetime as a boy not going to church and hearing about Jesus. Oh, my goodness. And you know what they tell me? You're going to know when you're lost because this Jesus that came, the Son of God, born of a virgin, grow up pure as could be, went to Calvary and died for my sins and yours, rose from the dead. Now he sits at the right hand of the Father and he sent the Holy Spirit down here. And when these preachers preach about him, that gospel is going to come into your heart. And the way you're going to know that you need him is there's going to be a heaviness there. I'm condemned. I'm going to tell you, it's kind of like, I don't know about y'all, but my mama had the big old cookie jar and I loved them cookies. And they were off limits till after supper, okay? But every once in a while, I was a really good boy most of the time, right? But sometimes mama would beat me back of the house, and I'm thinking, she won't never miss one of them cookies. So I'd get up there, and I'd reach in that cookie, and I don't know how she could do it, Brother Allen, but she'd come on the spot just so my hand was in the cookie jar. Now you say, Brother John, how'd you feel? Oh, goodness, I'm a goner. I don't know what she's going to do to me, but I may not get another cookie for the rest of my life. What I'm thinking. But in my soul, I knew I was in trouble. When they started preaching about Jesus when I was a 10-year-old boy, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I knew what I needed to do. What do you need to do, Brother John? I need to seek him with all my heart. What did that really mean? Well, we as Baptists teach something that I believe I need to explain, and we all explain it all the time. We talk about the two inseparable graces. Now, y'all know what a grace is? Grace is something that is given to you. Can't earn it. Can't do anything in the world to get it. Okay? So when we talk about a heavy heart, a burden, you know what that is? The Scriptures call that godly sorrow. It's God convincing you that you need Him. And I call it, it's God drawing you. Jesus said, no man come to me except the Father draw him. How's that happen? Word of God cuts to the heart. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing center of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know what it does? It gets down to your heart and you know what it says? You're lost. Preacher can't convict you. I can't stand up here and say all the right words and turn my head right and sideways and say that. That's not how it happens. The spirit and power of God based on the word of God is that you are a sinner and you need a Savior. We all there. And tonight if you're lost, God's letting you know in your heart you're lost. And the only way you're going to miss hell is you've got to come and seek Him. You've got to turn from your sins, confess, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And at the very same moment, you can't separate the two, you turn to Jesus in faith. And you know what I believe that is? That's that surrender. I've told y'all it took me 3 years to get saved. But really, it only took me one prayer. During that 3 years, you know what I spent my time doing? Trying to convince God what a good fellow I was. And how important I'd be to Him if He'd save me. Y'all heard me say, my little cousin sought Him and got saved first, second time she sought Him. And I'd always say, Lord, I'm not near as mean as she is. I know you need to save me. I know nobody ever taught me that. But folks, let me tell you, you don't earn your salvation praying or trying to convince God. I don't care what kind of attorney you think you are or how convincing or persuading you are. You know when the Lord finally saved me after 3 years, when it finally got to the point where I said, I thought in my heart as God was dealing with me again, Lord, if you don't save me, I ain't ever going to get this. I've done everything I can do. And just like that, the Lord saved my soul. Now, how you know, Brother Johnny? He gave me peace. I can take you back to the very moment in time when He rolled the burden away. And you know, because, now you know what? I'm going to miss hell now. And I got a ticket for heaven. And you know what's on it? The bloodstain of Jesus Christ is mine. And it's laying right across my heart. You know what? And when God of glory looks down at me, you know what He sees? The blood of Jesus. You know what that means? Just as though I've never sinned. You know what? He's my big brother. He's covered it all. And that's how you miss hell. So may God help you. And I don't know who you're here, and
Of course, as usual, I've given y'all a sermon and a half, and forgive me for the time, but not for the content. If you're here and you need Jesus, you know what you need to do tonight. If you know you're lost, God is dealing with your heart, you know what you need to do tonight. Even if you're here on the very back row, you know what you need to do tonight. You need to peel out of this aisle right here. And where's that one? You need to go down to that aisle, and as you're traveling down there, I want you to say, when I get there and I repent of my sins and trust the Lord with all of my heart, I know He's going to save me. Now, I can't tell you that. Mama can't tell you that. Daddy can't tell you that. I'm going to tell you what. When I think about this part of the sermon, you know what I'm like? It's like when the children of Israel got to the edge of the Red Sea. And you know what Moses said? He put his arms up and said, behold the salvation of the Lord. You know what Moses is saying? Ain't nothing else I can do. God's going to have to take care of the rest of it. God's going to have to part that Red Sea. So if you get saved, Brother Johnny can't save you. You know what? I like you enough. I probably would save you. But you know what? There may be some of you I didn't like. So I might not save you. So you know what God decided to do? He decided to do the saving himself. And let me do my little part. Now, your part is to come to Jesus. And I wouldn't leave this building without one of those tickets for all the gold and all the silver. You know what Jesus said? If a man gain a whole world and lose his soul, what would he profit? Come get your ticket punched tonight as Brother Allen leads us in a song. Thank you for hearing me. Stand together while we sing. Please come and pray if you're lost.